Please turn with me to the book of Psalm. I shall be reading Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for men, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower off the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. A blessed 28th anniversary to all of us. Today, the title of the sermon is entitled, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Come, let us pray before we begin. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Dear Lord, we pray that we, your people, will remember to bless you, and we will, even as we read your word and as we go about celebrating our 28 years of blessings from you. Bless this time we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And so sings the refrain of this psalm. He sings it in the first verse, and then he repeats in the second verse, right at the beginning of the psalm. Then in his conclusion, the refrain comes about repeating again in verses 20, 21, and twice in verse 22. Now, for the young adults among us who have recently attended a course on Bible study tools, this is a bookend or sandwich structure. You know what that is. With a similar refrain sandwiching the rest of the psalm in between, there is no doubt that this psalm is calling us to bless the Lord. Now I'm going to try something fun for us today, because it's our 28th anniversary, right? And we are supposed to be joyous and celebrative. So as I say, bless the Lord, I want all of us to say, hallelujah. Can we do that? Let's try it, okay? Bless the Lord. Very good. So anytime when I say bless the Lord, you will say yes. Now note that in this psalm, the word Lord is written in full capital letters, meaning that it's not just to any earthly lord of the lands and of earthly kingdoms, but a full capitalized Lord, L-O-R-D, in the Bible refers to Yahweh, God of the Jews, a Lord of both the heavenly realms and of the earth, whom the people of God believe as the creator of the heavens and earth. So, a call to bless the Lord is a call to bless God indeed. Now, this psalm has a subheading indicating that it was written of David, and so was probably written by King David of the Bible. It is written as a psalm, and over the centuries, in the 16th century, 19th century, and even today in the 21st century, many times this psalm have been set to music and hymns. It is a song, a psalm that is often recited in Jewish circles, in Roman Catholic circles, in Eastern Orthodox churches, and even Protestant churches today. It was also recited weekly, do you know, in Christian monasteries in the 6th century of the Order of St. Benedict. Now, a biblical scholar by the name of Robert Hawker, he wrote about this psalm. He said that this psalm is one continued hymn of praise, and it includes a comprehensive view of the goodness of Jehovah in all of the great works of creation and redemption. Another biblical scholar by the name of Albert Barnes, he called this an exceedingly regular in its structure and composition, beautiful in its language and conceptions, and adapted to all times and ages, suited to express the feelings of gratitude to God for deliverance from trouble and for the manifestation of God's mercy, suited to elevate the soul and to fill it with cheerful views. So we must read this psalm more often. Now, there was an Old Testament scholar as well by the name of Bernhard Dumm, and he considers this psalm as a compilation of all sorts of beautiful sentences from a fairly extensive reading. With such beautiful and cheerful comments regarding this psalm, let us dwell into it to better appreciate it. The first point is God is able to rescue. The psalm calls us to do something. What are we to do? It says that we are to bless the Lord. All my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. As mentioned, this first verse was a call for us to bless the Lord. It tells us what to do, that is to bless the Lord. And some of us may wonder, but why do we as mere human beings bless the Lord? Shouldn't that be the other way around? Shouldn't it be God blessing us? Why are we blessing God? Isn't blessing something that God does to humans? For blessings, doesn't it mean an inference of divine favor from God? However, that isn't the only meaning of blessing. Blessings means to endow someone with something positive and divine, such as a dedication of, a praise toward, a glorifying of, a worship of. So when David wrote to bless the Lord, hallelujah, he meant in that regard to ascribe glory to God by giving thanks and giving God praise. Verse 2 continue, to also bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He gave us another call to continue to bless and added a reminder not to forget all of God's benefits. No, it isn't enough to just remember some of God's benefits. Let's remember them all. For what the Lord has done is important and significant to God's people. But what were they? What had the Lord done for his people? In other words, why are we saying to bless God? Verse 3 says, because he who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. These three verses, verses 3 to 5, explain that God is a God who forgives sins, heals diseases, redeems our life from the pit, and crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. This is a quick overview and summary of the entire psalm. It covers and explains why we should and have to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Basically, this psalm is telling us that God forgives and rescues us in two ways. Number one, God rescues us from sickness, that's physical ailment. Number two, God rescues us from life from the pit, which means through our struggles, through our difficulties, and through our troubles. Let's begin with God rescues us from sickness. Let's talk about it. God rescues us from sickness. Who hasn't suffered sickness before? Who isn't struggling with life's troubles? No one. In fact, we all have fallen sick, and we all have struggled with difficulties. And maybe today we are struggling as well. Perhaps we are now going through some physical ailment. Sickness comes with life, and especially with an aging body. All right? And do we lament, or do we remember all those times in life when God had healed us time and again? With an aging body, physical ailment will only increase. That is a fact. But God will still be faithful. Even as one day our body gives out and our time has come, we can trust and we will stand with Christ on that day, and God has given us and will give us an eternal body that will see no decay and sickness ever again. But before that day comes, we can rejoice today that God has time and again healed us so many times in our lives. Look back to your life. How many times have the Lord healed you? Be it a minor flu and you pray God take it away, to a major lasting injury, can we testify that God has been good in pulling us through time and time again? In my personal life, I can recount when I encountered many scares about health. I started from childhood with asthma. I have an asthmatic childhood. And then later on, as I grew up, I developed severe migraine to the point that I see spots in my eyes and I cannot drive sometimes. And then there was a time of my life where I developed muscle spasm and I couldn't get out from bed. I have to lie down on my bed. And then I also encountered spinal bone degeneration that leads to sleep disc. And I had a long-lasting, I could remember, about 4 to 5 hours of teeth operation where the dentist couldn't extract a tooth that she was trying to extract. And then also, I started to develop chest pains and so on. But throughout each of all these times in my life as I go through physical ailment, the Lord has proven that He is faithful in my life. Each physical occurrence required me to go through extensive treatments, physiotherapy, and especially life changes, lifestyle changes, and adaptations. But each time, I can only look back and give thanks to God for how He had pulled me through. You can too, in the many aspects and facets of health, even as you go through life. Rejoice and bless the Lord. Hallelujah, that He has given and preserved your life. God rescues us from life from the pit. That's the second point here. Now, God rescues us from life from the pit. In our daily life, at work, in school, at home, during leisure play or vocational fulfillment, are we not seemingly oppressed with daily issues, challenges and problems? Be they in getting tasks done, finishing a project, fulfilling that research report, dealing with financial issues, managing relational problems, or struggling with that annoying sin that comes back to bite us each time we cry out in repentance, God has been with us through it all. And although there are times in our struggles that we are blinded and we do not see God, yet after each obstacle, such as today, when we come to church and stand amidst brothers and sisters proclaiming God's praise, we realize that God never left us all this while. Maybe we are oppressed today as well. And the oppressions we are facing right now includes the difficulties we face in work, in school, and how the many things that life throws at us, to the difficulties of the sin that we struggle in. If life seems too much to bear, the next two verses gives us the good news by reminding us who God is. It tells us that God is a God of justice and righteousness. Verse 6 and 7 says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel." These two verses tells us that God isn't one who sits idly by while his people struggle with difficulties and sins. We have seen time and again in the Bible how God is a God who intervenes. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, God came looking for them in the garden. When the world was filled with wickedness, God came looking for Noah and his family in order to preserve the life of a righteous man. When the Hebrews were oppressed by the Egyptians, God came sending Moses to set them off on the Exodus. When the people were without a leader and struggling with their sinful ways, God sent judges and prophets and kings later on. And when all hope seemed lost and people were like sheep without a shepherd, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will do it again. God isn't one to hide in the shadows while quietly performing his work. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. He declared his coming and his promises to his people, and he fulfilled them. Brothers and sisters, as a church in these 28 years, have we not experienced difficulties and setbacks? I really enjoy the pastoral prayer that Elder CK led us through, and it really makes us look back and reflect upon the years. Indeed, from the struggles in finding footing in a mission school, to the current chaplaincy work that we conduct each day, to the number of PHS students and alumni among our midst today, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. From the finding of our footing in Amokyo, to the blessing of countless walk-ins from the neighborhood, to the knocking on our doors from the neighboring Anderson Primary School, requesting from chaplaincy work to set up BB and GB junior companies, to the study camps that we are organizing for the children in the neighborhood and how they are coming in. Bless the Lord. From the struggle in finding the right pastor to the blessing of sending many of our members to theological and Bible colleges, some self-financed and some today serving full-time so that all could serve in various capacities here in this church, to finding the right pastor we give thanks for. Bless the Lord. From the weekly worship at PHS School Hall, no aircon, and having to come early to lay chairs, set up the stage and musical instruments and PA systems, to the building of this chapel and the subsequent extension of this chapel, bless the Lord. From the initial group who faithfully stepped out from Covenant Presbyterian Church 28 years ago, to the numbers who have stepped forward for baptism vows each year, to the numbers who exchange their marital vows before God in this church, to the number of children born to us each year, and how many have grown into responsible young adults and getting married soon to send their own kids one day for the baptism vows too, and the cycle continues, how the Lord has blessed us with numbers these years. Bless the Lord. The Lord has helped us as a church these years, rescuing us from many aspects of oppression. And we give thanks to all the many blessings he has given us. We can indeed bless the Lord. My point number 2 on your bulletin, God is also forgiving. God is not just a God of justice and righteousness. And verse 8 tells us that God is also a God of mercy, grace, and love. Verse 8, I read for you, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." You know, last Sunday I was teaching a foundation class, and we were learning about how God was so powerful, that God is all-knowing, God is everywhere, and God is all-powerful. But I threw this wrench into the works of their knowledge of God. I asked them, I say, what if God is all-knowing, everywhere, and all-powerful, but evil and wicked? Wow! Then we will be in very big trouble indeed. We will be doomed. But fortunately, for us, God isn't just all-knowing, everywhere, and all-powerful, but God is a God of justice and righteousness. God is also merciful, gracious, and loving. I recently heard a story, a personal testimony of this U.S. truck driver. You know, United States is so big, right? So they have truck drivers that deliver goods, and they have to drive for weeks across the states in order to deliver things. And this truck driver, his name is Ralph, okay, not his real name. He went through a lot of struggles in his life. He went through 3 marriages, he was saying, and 3 divorces. And he went into drugs. And then later on, he went into alcoholism. But throughout his life of sins and vices, he just couldn't find satisfaction. In the end, Ralph went to church. But even when he was at church, he couldn't meet God. But a pastor told him, "You don't have to be in church to meet Jesus, because Jesus is everywhere. And when you speak to him, God will hear you." And one day when he's wretched and all troubled, sitting in his truck, Ralph encountered the Lord. And there he encountered the Holy Spirit, and he gave his life to Jesus, there in his truck. He received the forgiveness of his sins, and he finally found satisfaction in life. And you know what he did? He sounded his horns. And those truck horns, you know, his air horns, he blared out so loudly. Ah! And he was exclaiming to everyone how Jesus has saved him. God saved him, even in his truck. And God is everywhere and powerful. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is loving wherever you are. However your life is, he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he is everywhere. You know, right now in August, it is the late summer, now in North America. In summer, at least in Canada, people love to go national parks to see wildlife. Now, when they say national parks, it isn't like the size of Ang Mo Kio Park or Bishan Park or even Botanic Gardens. Botanic Gardens is one of the largest parks in Singapore, but yet it's called a garden instead of a park. But the Canadian national parks are many times the size of Singapore itself. And last summer, my family and I were in Canadian national parks for holidays. When we were driving, we saw many people suddenly stop their vehicles, and they crowded on the street in front of us that we cannot move. So, okay, monkey see, monkey do, we pull up to the side. And we saw a mother bear taking a slow stroll with his cute little baby bear along the road. And was slowly both of them climbing up the slope on the side up into the forested mountains. My wife and then my 2-year-old daughter, they were so excited. The car had stopped, they opened the door and ran out of the car to have a closer look. And many people were doing the same. They were all going near. And then my wife and my daughter, they were one of those closest to the bear. And everyone was excited. And they took plenty of pictures and videos. I was standing there in my car, and I was taking pictures. And then people coming up and say, "Hey, what's going on?" I say, "Oh, there's a mother bear and the baby bear. So cute." But that was when the people say, "How foolish you are. Do you know that that's a very dangerous thing to do? Call them back, call them back. Because if the mama bear thinks that we are out to harm her baby bear, The mama bear can become very fierce indeed. If you think you see a baby bear alone and you want to go near to cuddle it, no baby bear will be left alone. Of course, mama bear will be right behind it. And guess what mama is going to do? So I quickly call my wife and say, come back, come back. And then the man who came up also tells everyone to come back. Apparently, he works with the rangers as well. And so they were telling everyone to come back and do not go near to the bears. Why am I telling you this? You see, if a bear of the wildlife can protect its young, that if someone comes close, you become aggressive, then so much more a God will protect his children. If we as human beings will protect our child, so much more God will protect his children. Just yesterday, I was at Punggol because they were having this National Day, this little party concert and this exhibition and all that at the field. And there was a lot of games and all. And my daughter was, now she's 4 years old, so she was just playing with some toys. And then it was free for everyone to play. And she was there playing, and then a boy ran past her, and the boy threw the toy on the floor. But the mother of the boy, I saw the whole thing happen, the mother of the boy just saw the boy threw something on the floor or dropped something on the floor and thought that my daughter has bumped into her son. And so she became furious. She turned to my daughter and said, girl, do not push. And I was perturbed from a distant away. My daughter didn't push your son. Your son just threw something on the floor, but she didn't see it. But my point is this. You see, when something seemingly happened to the son, the mother get all agitated and protective and say, hey, do not push. How much more God will protect and care for his children? God will protect his people as a wild bear cares for her young and much, much more. And we know God is a God who will gladly lay down his life for his children so that they may live. God shows mercy, grace, and love to his children. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. At the ending part of this psalm, David, the psalmist, he poetically wrote 4 analogies to illustrate how God is worthy to be blessed. And these are the analogies. The first analogy in verse 11 and 12 is an illustration of God's deeds. I read, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Do you know how far east and west are? It's not just like this. It's so, so much longer than that. In other words, God's deeds in his forgiveness, mercy, grace, and love, he has removed our sins, removed our transgressions, removed our wrongdoings away from us. As far as the east is from the west, you will never meet. That's how far God is rescuing us, like pulling us from a burning fire and running away with us, far away as he could go. That goes to the extent of what God has done for us. And the second analogy that David gave was an illustration of God's love in verse 13 and 14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Indeed, God is so powerful. Yet God is so gentle to us as a father to a child. Innocent young children, not just an adult children, okay? But it's innocent, small young children who do not know left and right. But God will show compassion and mercy. And God will never be angry with them for long. Because have you ever had those cute little children in front of you and they do something naughty and you get angry, but only for a moment because you can never ever be angry forever with them? If it's an adult, sometimes you're just angry. I'll never be your friend and never talk to you for a longer time. But for a child, you just cannot find it in you to really be angry. And that's just how it is. God's love for us is like a father to the children, innocent young children. And he will never be angry with us. He will always come back to us as long as we come back to him. And the third illustration that, or analogy that David gave was regarding about mankind's frailty and fragility. Verses 15 and 16. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And his place knows it no more. Here David is trying to illustrate to us how frail, how fragile is our life. We may flourish and think that I'm almighty, I know a lot of things, and I have a lot of achievements and success. But once the wind passes, we are gone, like dust, like grass and flowers of the field. And even the place that we are at will remember us no more. Here David is trying to give an analogy how frail and fragile truly our life is. But David ended with the fourth analogy, the fourth illustration, telling us, describing God's eternal promises and sovereignty. Verse 17 to 19. But the steadfast love of the Lord is everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. That is God's promises to us, that as we turn to him, keep his commandments, and fear him, that in other words, to respect and to honor and to worship him, he will be our God from everlasting to everlasting. And the relationship will be there such that it's secured, like his throne that's established and his kingdom that rules over all. We have a big, huge backer of God, that as we abide in him, he will protect us and keep us safe and secure in his sovereignty. And his sovereignty overrides everything else. And that is the beauty of this analogy. My last point, God is worthy to be blessed. And so, here David ended off the psalm, and he says, you don't have to say hallelujah this time because it's written there in the word. He says, bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Angels up there, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. And bless the Lord, all his works, his creation, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Church, look back in your life, your personal life. How has the Lord blessed you? Think about the times when you struggle with sin. Think about the time when you struggle with ailment. Think about those times when you struggle with some issues or problems in life. How did the Lord pull you through? And the same Lord who brought you through those times is still the same Lord who is with us today. Think about how our church have gone through this journey together. Maybe some of us have only recently joined this church for a few weeks or a few months or a few years. To those who have been here for decades, look back and think how God has blessed our church to give us all that we need. Have we ever considered how we have aircon in this building? How we have lights and electricity? How I have a microphone that can project my voice? How we have a projector that shows us images? And how we are able to be in a school with so many classrooms as we go about in our cell groups, in our meetings, and later on even as we go to the school hall? How a big place that we can have in order to celebrate and give thanks to God. How God has brought us through many of the struggles that we may have faced as a church. Now, how would you bless the Lord in return? For all the blessing he has given to you in your personal life, for all the blessings that he has given to us as a church, how can we bless the Lord? Why don't we just spend some quiet moments right now and let us just give thanks to God and thank him for the many wonderful blessings he has given to us in our lives and as a church for 28 years. That God is good and he is worthy to be blessed. Speak to him in your way. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. O you, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that is in me, be stirred up in his holy name to magnify and to bless. Bless, O my soul, the Lord your God, and not forgetful be. Of all his gracious benefits he has bestowed on thee. All your iniquities, who has most graciously forgiven? Who your diseases, all and pains, has healed and you relieved? Who has redeemed your life that you to death may not go down? Who you with loving kindness has and tender mercies crown? Who with abundance of good things has satisfied your mouth, so that even as the eagle's age, renewed is your youth? O to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the God whom we adore, be glory as it was and is and shall be forevermore. Amen.